Good morning, everybody. Good to see you today. Be turning in your Bibles to 1 Samuel over in the Old Testament. 1 Samuel. Oh, by the way, ever who left the t-shirt on my chair out in the office? It had to be somebody that's got a key to get in there, so I figured it might have been Bob. But thank you for the t-shirt. In right size. Good to have Emily home from college. She's been gone off to Mississippi so long, she's changed her accent. Talks like a Yankee now. I'm kidding you. You don't get much further south than we do when you get in the water. That's as far as you can go unless you swim. Amen. Hallelujah. 1 Samuel chapter 18. We sang that song, How Great Is Our God. It's been one of my favorites throughout my time here, hearing that song sing. And Cheryl didn't know it was one of my favorites, but it is, because we got a great God. And He does awesome stuff. And, you know, we get into some times in our life that we have to handle stuff. And, man, when we get into those times, it is stressful. We pray, and it doesn't seem like anything's happening. We can't fix it. And I've been there. And all of you have been there. And you say, Lord, I don't know how much of this I can handle. And I've learned that when I'm in that situation, I'm trying to handle it a lot of times within my own strength. And there's just things that we can't fix in our own strength. There's things that we have to just let God do. I want us to look at a man this morning that he learned how to let God handle his situations. And there in 1 Samuel chapter 18, we're going to begin reading in verse 6. 1 Samuel 18 and verse 6. We're going to read verses 6 through 9. Now it had happened, as they were coming home, when David was returning from the slaughter of the Philistines, that the women had come out of all the cities of Israel. Now they had heard about the great victory that David had led the army of Israel in. And they were happy. Now, David was not king. Saul was king. But David had a great victory. And these women, they come out and they were singing and dancing. And it says in verse 6 at the end of it, to meet King Saul with tambourines, with joy, and with musical instruments. So the woman sang as they danced and said, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000. Well, that made David look better than Saul. And Saul had a hard time handling this. This guy that's, they like him more than they do me. It said in verse 8, and Saul was very angry. The saying displeased him, and he said, they have ascribed to David 10,000. And to me, they have ascribed only thousands. Now, what more can he have but the kingdom? In other words, he's got all the recognition. The only thing he's got left is to have my slot. So Saul eyed David from that day forward. Saul's anger just began at David. And the women's song stirred jealousy in his heart, in Saul's heart. And I'm sure that when he heard that, if you ever been somewhere and something made you angry immediately, he just jumped on you. He just jumped on him. And I would imagine, it doesn't say it, but I would imagine in prior days, he had already heard a little bit of stuff about, you know, I think David's, he's a great warrior. And David's a good guy. And maybe somebody said, you know, wouldn't it be good if David was king? And maybe he heard some of these things. And he was already had a little grudge against David. But David didn't approach Saul. He was eyeing him. And the Bible says in verse 11 that he avoided Saul. David just avoided him. Sometimes we can't change people. You'll have people that thinks hard of you. You'll have people that... There was a guy this week. I mean, we live in a time people are crazy. There was a guy who just came through Satsuma and stole the vehicle and shot at some people, and he went to Baldwin County. How many of you saw it on the news? There was a guy that was thumbing down the highway and said hitchhiking over there on I-65 somewhere, and he took popped a few caps at that guy. And I imagine he put his thumb in his pocket right quick and ran. And then he got over there and shot in a man's pickup. And then his two girls were going to Faulkner State to college. I mean, how innocent can you get? And he shoots through their car and he hits the car three times. And he was from up close to Montgomery, and he was coming through, and he was high on some drugs and just being mean. And he had a criminal record behind him. We live in a day that there's things that we can't handle. There's situations. And if there's ever a time that the church needed to pray for a nation, the church needs to pray for a nation right now. And there might be situations in your life and in your family that you can't fix. There's times that doctors can't fix things. There's times that we just have to trust God. Well, later on, Saul begins to seek David's life. Look at chapter 19 and verses 10 and 11. Then Saul sought to pin David to the wall with a spear. But he had slipped away from Saul's presence, and he drove the spear into the wall. So David fled and escaped that night. Here he's changed from just being mad with him and upset with him because the women were singing. He had let this thing consume him. I mean, he lay in bed at nighttime and he would think, he wants my slot. He wants my place. Jealousy had crept in. And I'll just kill him. The only way I can see it, how many of you know that whenever we're going through some things, the devil always brings the worst scenario to our mind? You're not going to survive this. That one you're praying for is not going to survive this. I'm telling you, I've been there. And the devil brings those thoughts to our mind. And the whole thing is to try to pin you to the wall. He wants to pin you to the wall of doubt. He wants to pin you to the wall of unbelief. He really wants to pin you to the wall of defeat in your life. That's what he's trying to do. How many of you right now felt like you've been pinned to the wall before? Just about everybody in here. Some of you feel right now like you've been pinned to the wall. And boy, I remember those days. I'm one of those kind of people that I have a hard time shaking things. I remember one time somebody I remember it was on a Monday morning, and somebody just eat me out. One of our church members just, I remember sitting out, we're sitting on the bluff out there where the ball field is, and just told me everything he didn't like about me. And man, I tell you what, I did not sleep for 3 nights. I thought about it every day. I thought about it every night. I would rehearse it with Martha. I know she had to get tired of hearing about it. What in the world is wrong with this guy? Why? I didn't, you know, why is he this way? And, you know, and I went into all that stuff. And what I really got me was whenever the guy got up, he said, "Ooh, I feel better now." And I thought, man, I don't. You just told me about everything you didn't like about me. And you told me that you were going to leave and go somewhere else. And you've been here ever since I've been here. And I lay in the bed and I thought about it and I rehearsed it. And what I did was I took it all personal. Lord, what is it about my life that I can't make everybody like me? God, why doesn't everybody like me? Well, I tell you something. In order for everybody to like you, you got to do everything that everybody wants you to do. You got to be everything that everybody wants you to be. You got to be all things to all people if everybody likes you. Go ahead and learn this. Everybody's not going to like you. And there's nothing you can do about it. You can become their slave trying to make them like you. And if they figure out that you can become their slave, they'll play the game just to get you to be their slave. There's some things you can't fix. David couldn't fix Saul. You run into things you can't fix? Sure you do. David, he was a man that when he was chosen as king, later on, they said he was a man after God's own heart. So we know David was a good man. We know the people that could see the goodness in David. And turn over to 1 Samuel 24 with me. I'm going to read verses 1 through 10. Show you the goodness of David's heart. And how David would pray. And he would ask God directions to go. Because he knew Saul was trying to kill him. But David was learning something here. He was learning that you just have to pray. And sometimes you have to pray and fast. And you just have to trust God with your life. And with anytime, even if somebody's trying to kill you, you've just got to trust God. One of the things I've told you a million times through the years, one of the things that I do, I pray every morning. Sometimes it might be 2 in the morning and 3 in the morning, I pray. I pray that God, I pray that you would place angels around my wife. I pray, God, that you would place angels around my children. I call them all by name. I pray, Lord, that you would place angels around my grandchildren and watch over them and protect them. And now we're expecting a great-grandchild, and I don't know its name yet. Don't know if it's going to be a boy or a girl. But I say, and Lord, I pray for Danny and Jane and Callie and Daniel, and I pray for Constance, his wife. And then I throw in, Lord, and pray for the little baby. Lord, I just pray that you would watch over that little baby and protect that little baby. And I pray, Lord, that it'll be born healthy. And I pray those things. And that's out of my control. All of that's out of my control. But I can pray and I can bring it to the Lord. And I can trust God to handle situations that I can't handle. Listen, folks, you got to learn to do that. And whenever it doesn't look like anything's ever going to change, you got to keep praying. You got to keep believing. You got to keep having faith. And you just got to stick in there. Okay, you're there in 1 Samuel 24. It says in verse 1, "Now it happened when Saul had returned from following the Philistines that he was told, that it was told him, saying, 'Take note, David is in the wilderness in Engedi.' Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men from all Israel and went to seek David and his men on the rock of the wild goats. Now, Saul met Benjamin. It took how many? 3,000 men. What was his mission? To kill him and to kill the men that was with him. So he came to sheepfolds by the road where there was a cave, and Saul went in to attend to his needs. David and his men were staying in the recesses of the cave. He went right in where David already was. Then the men of David said to him, now they got to be whispering, this is the day which the Lord has said unto you, behold, I will deliver your enemy into your hands, that you may do to him as it seems good to you. And David arose and secretly cut off a corner of Saul's robe. Now, folks, I'm going to tell you something. If that man was out to kill me and you, and you know that he had the meanness in him to do it, and the guys that's with you is encouraging you to go ahead and take him out, most of us in the darkness of that cave would have took him out and went out another way if there was another way. We wouldn't have wanted to face that 3,000 that he had. It's in verse 5, it says, and now it happened afterward that David's heart troubled him because he had cut off Saul's robe. Did I tell you David was a good man? Yeah, he's a good man. Here's a man that's trying to kill him, and now David's trouble that he felt, I dishonored the king. God appointed him, and I dishonored him. He's king, and I got to respect him as king. And I feel bad that I cut off his robe. He's the leader. Listen, in a few months, another leader is going to come in our church. I've been here 28 and one half years. And it's going to be difficult for some of you. It's going to be different. It's difficult for us. But as God says, you got to move into another chapter of your life, and you're at an age that you don't have the energy you used to have. And it's time for you to slow down a little bit. That's what God has told me. But the guy that comes in, honor him. God placed him here. God knew that whenever when he told me it's time for you to move over and let somebody else come in, God knew then exactly who's going to come. Now, you're going to have a chance to vote on that man, whoever it is. And the guys are working hard, and they're in the process, and I think they may announce to you tonight something about somebody to come in and fill in as interim pastor until they may do that today. I don't know. But somebody to come. But if they do it, they need to announce it to you because you need to know what's going on. Because you're a part of this church, you need to know. Deacons, you need to keep them informed. You need to let the church know what's going on. It keeps down conflict to let them know what's going on. Amen? So tonight, hopefully they'll have an announcement for you so that you'll know you're going to be a part. You give to this church. You serve in this church. You have a right to know everything that goes on in this church. And they're going to bring some men in and let you hear these men preach. And I have no clue who all the men they're going to bring in, but they're going to bring some men in and let you hear them. And I told them, if they bring a guy in before I'm gone, let me know, and I'll visit another church somewhere that Sunday so I won't be a hindrance. And I'll come back the next Sunday and preach. But there's going to be somebody that comes in here, and he's going to take over that leadership. You remember when I came here 28 and a half years ago? Pastor had been here 17 years, Brother Bob Botiford. And you remember what I've always done? I've honored him. I said, I don't want to ever hear anybody saying anything bad about that man. You may not like some of the things he's done. You hadn't liked some of the things I've done. But listen, you've always honored me as your pastor. That's what David was doing. He was honoring Saul for the position that God had placed him in. And now he's feeling bad because he cut off that piece of the robe. And in verse 6, he said to his men, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch out my hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord. So David restrained his servants with these words and did not allow them to rise up against Saul. And Saul got up from the cave and went on his way. David also arose afterward and went out of the cave and called out to Saul, saying, "My Lord, the king." And when Saul looked behind him, David stooped with his face to the earth and bowed his head. What did he just do in verse 8? He honored the king. King was trying to kill him. His men says, "David, take him out." He says, "I can't." God anointed him. And God anointed him king. And he's my king. And he's your king. I'm going to honor him. Listen, whoever your leader is, I always honor him. Joe McGraw taught several weeks on honor, on honor, and how God blesses you when you honor other people. And it was a good teaching. And all of you got that book. What's the title of it? Honor's Reward. All of you have that book in your house somewhere or another if you're a member of this church. We got one copy left. If you don't have the book, we'd be glad to give you that last copy. And you need to read that because it helps you and it blesses you. Whenever, even when we go into a restaurant and eat, we honor our waitress. We honor her by giving her and leaving her a tip on the table. And I remember getting a haircut at Christmas time. And I was talking to a young lady, and she cuts our hair down there in Sarah Land. And I got from listening to her that she had gone through a separation and getting a divorce probably. And it was Christmas. And Martha and I went in to get a haircut just before Christmas. And I asked her, "Are you still living?" Because I used to know where she lived at. And I used to go in there and visit a sick man. She said, "No, I live with my mother now." And she told me where her mother lived. And I said, "Okay." And Martha heard it. And whenever we left, because it was Christmas, Martha gave her a nice tip for our two haircuts. Why? It was Christmas time. She had two kids, and that woman needed it to buy those babies something for Christmas. Honoring that lady that cut our hair, David was honoring King Saul, even when King Saul was being very mean and very stubborn. And David said to Saul, "Why do you listen to the words of men who say, 'Indeed, David seeks your harm'?" He's saying, "Saul, you're listening to people that's not telling you the truth. I'm not seeking you any harm." And at nighttime, when Saul was laying in his bed, he was listening to all this stuff. Don't you know the devil was saying, "He's going to kill you. You better never turn your back on him. He's going to get you." What was he trying to do? The devil was trying to get Saul to kill David because he knew that David was going to become leader and going to be a better leader than Saul ever dared to be. He was going to be the most written about king of all times. He kind of sensed those things were going to happen. Listen. David let God handle his problem. And in chapter 26, I'm not going to go there for the sake of time, but he spared his life again. But look how God handles things. Look at 1 Samuel 31, verse 4. Then David said to him, "How did the matter go? Please tell me." And he answered, "The people have fled from the battle. Many of the people are fallen and dead. And Saul and Jonathan, his sons, are dead also." So David said to the young man who told him, "How do you know that Saul and Jonathan and his sons are dead?" The young man who told him said, As I happened by, chanced to be on Mount Gilboa, there was Saul leaning on his spear, and indeed the chariots and the horsemen followed hard after him. He said, I witnessed his death. Saul took his own life. He fell on his own sword. And his armor bearer also. When Saul, he begged Saul not to do it, Saul did it. He said, I don't want the Philistines to have the pleasure of killing me. And he fell on his own sword and he died. And his armor bearer couldn't stop him. And the armor bearer took his sword and he fell on it too. That's dedication. That's honoring. Even a bad king, he honored him. David carried no revenge. Look over in 2 Samuel chapter 1, verse 12. And they mourned and wept and fasted until evening for Saul and Jonathan his son, for the people of the Lord and for the house of Israel because they had fallen by the sword. And here he is. How could David do this? I mean, how could he do this? Go back to, you got to get this point. Go back to chapter, well, I'll go back there for you. Chapter 1 Samuel 18, verse 5. Listen to this. So David went out wherever Saul went, sent him, and behaved wisely. David, the reason he could do this is he behaved wisely. Look at verse 14 in that same chapter. And David behaved wisely in all ways, and the Lord was with him. Look at verse 15. Therefore, then Saul saw that he behaved wisely, he was afraid of him. Folks, let me tell you something. We need to behave wisely. We need to know that we can tear up a testimony. A wise man lets God lead him. You can take all your life and build a testimony for Jesus Christ. And you can lose your temper in public and blow it in 1 minute. How many of you have been to ball games, especially Little League games, and watched parents act like genuine idiots? Arguing with the umpire. They church folks. And just getting down and leaning up against the fence and shouting junk at the umpire. And listen, it's children. How many times have you seen at Little League games parents just get onto their child because he missed the ball? They're children. You expect a child that's 6 years old or 7 years old to look like Chipper Jones with the Atlanta Braves playing third base and play like he plays? He's a child. He's a child. And I wouldn't umpire in the City League at Central Nail for all the money in China. I have seen people just come out of the woodwork and just jump on these guys. And you know, they're not getting rich out there doing that. They're out there doing that, yes, to pick up some extra money. But if they wasn't out there doing it, your child wouldn't be playing ball. And it doesn't really matter if that child wins or loses. It's not the World Series. Be wise. Be wise. I knew a pastor, and he had a son that played on the ball team with my grandson. And he pastored one of the biggest Baptist churches in Washington County, and he got barred from the City League Stadium in Jackson. He couldn't sit back there because he treated the umpires so bad. He had to go and peep through the fence to watch his son play. That's sad. And I've heard him just act like a lunatic and an idiot at ball games. Listen, your witness and your testimony, be wise. God protects those that live wisely. He does. He protected David. A wise man, as I close, a wise man waits on the Lord. Listen. It says in Isaiah 40, 28, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. they shall walk and not faint. Psalms 27:14 says this, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Let's be wise this morning. Those things that you are desiring from God and it's not happening yet, you got to wait on the Lord. We live in a snappy finger world. We want it now. That's human nature. I remember in the old days, Mama would have to heat up the oven. Now we just stick it in the microwave and push a button and directly it goes beep, beep. And man, you got a baked potato. What, 3 minutes? You got a baked potato. It used to take long time. We're just instant gratification, instant gratification. Listen, the church today needs to pray for revival. And we need to wait on the Lord. And wait on him to come. Wait on him to move. And whenever things begin to happen in the church, we begin to praise the Lord for hearing our prayers. If you've got problems and situations, maybe it's sickness, maybe it's somebody you're praying for that's ill, and it's not happening, and it's not happening fast enough. I remember, I told you about it after I had cancer surgery. I remember at 3 o'clock in the morning, I was very concerned about an issue I was having. And I'm thinking, I'm going to have to wind up going to the emergency room here. And Lord, have mercy, I don't want to go through all this stuff again. And I was thinking, and man, the devil was just pounding me. And I had to go to the doctor the next morning, to the hospital, and have an x-ray and everything. And what was bothering me, I was going to have checked the next morning. And I went down there. And man, I was just stressed all night long. I was stressed all the way down there, and I told Martha, this thing ain't working. It just ain't working, and I got to get this, I got to get this thing fixed and whatever. And I got down there to the Spring Hill Memorial, and I went in and had the x-ray, and that guy said, hey, you're going to be able to get that piece of equipment removed today. And I thought, thank you, Jesus. But man, I was fretting over that piece of equipment. And I was threatened because it just really, nothing was really working. Something's supposed to have been coming out, and I didn't see nothing. I said, Lord, what in the world? He took care of it. He took care. Listen, there's a time that we come to church stressed. And there's times that some of us just need a hug. And say that I care. I'm praying for you. I'll tell you what it does. It encourages you. If you're going through something today and you're praying for someone and you're struggling and you've got a lot of stress, you need something done, you need it done quickly. It may not be you, it may be somebody in your family. I just feel led to ask you to come down here today. You ain't got to say nothing. I just want you to come down here and just sit down on the step. And then I want people to get up and come down here and put their arms around you and hug you. Brother Tom, I'm not, if you don't want to, it's fine. I want to give you that opportunity because you feel defeated in your spirit and you feel defeated in your heart and in your mind. I've had people that didn't even know I felt defeated come into this place, and I've walked in here and somebody's come up and hugged me and said, I love you, Brother Tom, and that was all I needed to make it for a while longer. Any of you have been there? Don't you think David needed a hug? His guys were saying, kill him. And he said, no, I can't do that to the one that God anointed to be king. If If you're here this morning, you're just struggling in some area of your life, Tom, I want you to come. I want you to play the keyboard. I'm going to turn this thing off.